Praise the Lord. Here we are, receiving the land yet again. Glory to God. Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Last week I said we could bring this into new covenant speak, if you like, and we could bring it this way. Then Jesus said to the children of God, how long will you neglect to receive the fullness of the inheritance which your heavenly Father has given you? Amen. Receiving the land. Land is for people. Whenever we hear land, we need to see people. Land is for people. Land where they can occupy, that they can occupy. Land where they can enjoy a life of carefree superabundance. Amen. We've been in Joshua chapter 5. We started there last week. I said there were six things. We got through pretty much four of them last week. I'll just remind you of the first four. The first one was, when we hear and obey, the enemy hears and fears. When we hear and obey, the enemy hears and fears. The second one was, the old covenant was from the outside in, but the new covenant is from the inside out. The third thing was, the longer you delay obedience, the more painful it can become. And number four was, no temporary pain, no permanent gain. Where there's no temporary, where we don't allow for temporary pain, there can be no permanent gain. 1 Peter 4:1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. Someone already mentioned this morning, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Amen. He kept the vision before him. He kept the vision of what was being accomplished through that process. Hallelujah, before him. And that's what gave him strength, and that's what caused him to be able to endure what he endured, because of the joy that was set before him, because he was willing to put up with temporary pain. We're not talking about a wee bit of toothache or a migraine or a whatever, and these things can be quite severe for people, but we're talking about pain that none of us have ever experienced, and none of us ever will experience, because he experienced it for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We can't even begin to imagine the pain, the temporary pain, because he knew that there was permanent gain. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I said this last week, maybe just remind us this morning. Our flesh loves to say things like, why me? Come on, now. Why me? Oh. Or it's not fair. This isn't fair, you know. And all these different things. But you know, in Romans chapter 2, we're told that we're inexcusable. There's lots of reasons why we might think, why me? There's lots of reasons why we might think it's not fair, but actually all of our excuses were removed at the cross. So there may be reasons, but there's no excuse anymore for responding in that way. There's no excuse anymore for reacting in that way. Because all of our excuses were removed at the cross. So there might be lots of reasons why we feel hard done to, or we might be lots of reasons that we feel that life is not fair. But we no longer have any excuse for continuing to indulge these feelings and these emotions.
Amen.
Now people have asked me over the years why I don't drink alcohol anymore. And I tell them, well, all of the reasons why I used to drink to excess no longer exist. And I have to confess, the more removed that I become from a religious mindset, I can see that I could actually probably choose to have an occasional glass of this or that. And I would no longer need to have any fear of renewing dependence upon it. But for me personally, and that's thus far at least, the disadvantages far outweigh the advantages. I was even talking about this with a brother from another church the other day, And I said, even the fact that if I have three glasses of wine and somebody calls me up at 2 a.m. and says, can you come and help me? And I'd have to say, I can't come. Why? No, because I've had a drink. So even that itself, to me, that's not liberty, that's not freedom, that's bondage. That's just my opinion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I ain't going to enter into any of the arguments that I've entered into in the past over these things. Glory to God. As I said, God's removing me from that religious mindset. But I still, I appreciate the freedom. I have the freedom to say no. Hallelujah. I didn't have that freedom before. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you this, you know, there's been times when rather than doing what I would have done previously, when I would have made a big deal of refusing a drink, you know, because that's part of the religious mindset. Oh, you know, no, I don't touch that stuff, you know, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But now I'm a bit more tuned in, I think, a bit more diligent to weigh up the offendability stakes, if you like. And there's been one or two occasions when I've just taken the glass and I've even sipped on it and probably left half of it or three quarters of it as I left. Katrina's up there, like, you see her eyes, she's wondering. What's going on here? Well, we were talking this morning about chains being broken, so hallelujah. But I've weighed it up and I thought, well, am I going to really offend them here by, I'll just take it and maybe, as I say, sip on it, make it look, and then just leave it. Because to me, it has no attraction anymore. Hallelujah. Because I discovered the real thing. Hallelujah. It's not Coca-Cola. It's called the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Ephesians, it says, do not be drunk with wine wherein there is excess or even which leads to debauchery. And I know I've had some experience of that garbage. But be filled. Not just be filled, but be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. And I see lots of parallels between the two. But thank God for the real thing. Amen. Amen. Enough of that. Someone says he gave us some and then pulled it back from us again. Hallelujah. Anyway, Joshua chapter 5, the people are circumcised. The ones who'd been born during that wilderness journey had not been circumcised. And so the Lord says to Joshua, take flint, knives, and recircumcise the people. And he tells them that day the reproach has been rolled away and the covenant has been renewed. Now, just as we're worshipping this morning, I realize this is, as I said, according to the Western calendar, this is Pentecost Sunday, and a day when the church celebrates the arrival of the Holy Spirit and who came to seal the new covenant. And I was thinking about the parallel between what's happening here and with Joshua and the people as they've crossed over and the time when they're recircumcised. And it says they stayed in the camp until they were healed, and then they begin to move forward, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I thought, you know, there's a little when Jesus went to the cross, and then he was in the grave for 3 days, and of course he rose again. And there was 50 days between that and Pentecost, and I believe that was almost like that was a time when there was a healing time. He had established a new covenant in his blood. He was cut. And he established this new covenant in his blood. But then there was a time of healing, if you like, because the guys are like, what's going on? You know, there was a period of confusion, and he appeared to his disciples, and he had to reaffirm them and remind them and instruct them and say, this is what's going on. Yeah. Now, I told you about all this, and you didn't get it, but I'm trying to, you need to get it now, but you need to wait in Jerusalem, because the Holy Spirit's coming, and when he comes, things are going to be very different. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I believe that Pentecost is like a crossing over for the church. It was a crossing over into something brand new, something the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of promise. If you want to live in the promises of God, then you need to stay in touch with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who'll bring the Word of God to pass in your life. Amen. That's why we need to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we might have the Word of God, and we might have the promises of God, but there ain't much chance of us experiencing their fulfillment in our lives without the Holy Spirit, because he's the only one who can do that. The Holy Spirit and the Word always work together. Never think you can just, well, we're Word people. I said, well, I'm a Word person too, but glory to God, the Word didn't do me much good without the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says itself that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. So there's lots of people who think they're Word people, but it's dead letter. And they go about, usually, I've done it a bit better myself in the past, you know. I think I'm getting beyond that, bludgeoning people with, you know. Oh, yeah. And beat them into submission with the word. When all a time when the Holy Spirit shows up, he can do in an instant what you've failed to do for in 20 years of bludgeoning. Who can say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anyway, back to Joshua chapter 5, in verse 12 it says, the manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land, and there was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate of the produce of Canaan. So as soon as the covenant was renewed, the people began to eat the produce of the land. It was like manna was off the menu. You showed up for breakfast that morning and manna was off the menu. For years you'd been having manna every morning for your breakfast, and all of a sudden you show up and manna's off the menu. It's not there anymore. Somebody went to HS1 the other day, and I think it was Sarah, because it was at her wee family, what's happening? She said, there's a new menu, and Anna immediately says, I hope the wrap's still on. I hope the chicken wrap's still there. You can guarantee if Anna goes out to eat anywhere, you don't have to ask her what she had. I still ask her, what'd you have? Chicken wrap or something. But the manna was off the menu. The manna was off the menu. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year, glory to God, they ate of the produce of Canaan. Hallelujah. Fifth thing I want us to get from this, from Joshua chapter 5 is, and I've said this before over the years, freedom is spelled R-E-S-P-O-N-S-I-B-I-L-I-T-Y. Freedom is spelled R-E-S-P-O-N-S-I-B-I-L-I-T-Y. Freedom is spelled responsibility. As soon as we take responsibility to lay hold of the supernatural lifestyle that we have been brought into, not naturally but supernaturally, then very often that which is overtly supernatural in our provision, very often it ends. Because we've crossed over into a new place, we've crossed over into a place where, I mean, who remembers the first time they left home? You know, every morning they came downstairs and their mother had their breakfast on the table. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, you're on your own, pal. And you finally respond to that alarm on the fifth or sixth time that it, and you come downstairs and there's nobody there. There's no smell of cooking. And you have to go to the fridge and see what's there. And if you haven't stocked it, there's nothing there. Or you see what's left after two or three days. Maybe your mother came and stocked it for you, but after 4 or 5 days, everything that she put there is gone and you're on your own now, pal. You know, who remembers any of that stuff? I ironed my first shirt. I remember I was about 19 years old or 20. Well, I was 22, I think. I was like, what are you supposed to do with this thing? And of course, we hadn't been to the laundry. We wore every shirt we had before we went to the laundry. So you've got this massive bin liner full of shirts, and you're I remember spending 2 nights just trying to figure this thing out. But we are now here to exercise dominion. We are here to believe for supernatural increase on our resources as we enter into the practice, the kingdom practice, the kingdom principle of sowing and reaping. That's what's happening here with these people. The manna stops because they're in the land now. The Lord says, here's your land now. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that will produce magnificent crops for you, but you're going to have to sow.
Yeah.
If you're going to reap. I spoke last week, and maybe the week before, about these different levels of maturity and spiritual maturity, and then their parallels in the natural. And in 1 John chapter 2, it talks about little children, young men, fathers. And you know, I find a lot of the time the church gets stuck in the young man kind of teenage level. Who knows what I'm talking about? There's nothing wrong with being a teenager. It's part of your development process. It's a kind of rite of passage. But there's certain things within that teenage level that can be kind of negative. Who knows that the teenager, their anthem very often is things like, "I'm bored. There's nothing to do." Well, there's a newsflash for you this morning. Boredom ends when we begin to take responsibility.
Yeah.
The last thing a teenager hears when there's nothing to do is say, "Well, I've got something for you. I've got plenty of things for you to do." They look at you and they're, "What?" "Why would I ever want to do anything that you've got for me to do? That's not what I'm doing, you know." And you get that in the church. "We're bored. There's nothing to do." That's your seatbelt this morning. I know I'm in the company of young men level believers when I hear these kind of statements. "Nothing's happening. I'm bored. Just the same old, same old." Last thing that teenager wants to hear is, "I can find you something to do." Because they want entertainment. Remember Jesus, you know, with his disciples. First of all, he sends out the 12, then he sends out the 70, you know, and it's like he sends them into Kingdom Disney, you know. He says, "Right, on you go, guys, enjoy yourselves. I give you authority to heal the sick and cast out devils. Go and enjoy yourselves." And they come back and they're, "Wow, Jesus, you didn't believe it." He said, "I believe it then." So even the devils are subject unto us. They said, "That's cool, guys. I mean, that's good. I mean, fair dues, get excited about these things, but get more excited about this. Rejoice more about this, that your names are written in heaven."
Yeah.
"That you have a place that's yours. That you're connected to something." I want to ask you that question this morning. What is your land? What is your place of responsibility? What is the place that you're to occupy? What's your place of occupation? Because I want to tell you this morning, in case you haven't figured it out already, that's where your true freedom exists.
That's right.
That's where your true sense of fulfillment and purpose is. Because I want to tell you this morning, there's loads of things to be done. There's loads of things to be taken up, to be received. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, when Jesus ascended, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts. Well, we haven't got it by now, but we're a bit slow, because there's something about gifts. Everything that's given still has to be received, still has to be taken up. You know, teenagers always want to know why. They have to do things. Who knows what I'm talking about? Why? You say, "Yeah, will you do it? Why? 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 Why?" And as I said, that's okay. That's part of that whole teenage thing. But God's calling us up, and he called us up again this morning prophetically. He's reminding us. He's calling us up. Because his desire is for us to move forward into that place of maturity. From young men to fathers. That's why Jesus said that to the disciples. He said, "You need to understand. There's a place for you to occupy, a place of responsibility for you, a place where your destiny will be fulfilled." See, fathers know why things have to be done. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 2. It says, "I write to you fathers because you've known him who is." You know him who is from the beginning. They know him who is. They know the Creator God. They know the God of purpose. The God who everything he does has a purpose. The God is always doing something. The God is always on the move. Fathers know why things have to be done, because they know the protector and the provider. They know the Father of fathers, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. So I want to ask you this morning, do you want entertainment? Or do you want to, I got this the other day, I thought it was pretty cool. Or do you want to enter attainment?
Wow.
Do you want to just stick with entertainment? Or do you want to enter attainment? Paul said, I'm leaving everything that's behind because I'm pressing on towards the mark for the prize of the high call or the upward call of God. He said, I want to attain to something. So I ain't stopping short of that. Do you want entertainment or do you want to enter attainment? Because there's more than enough to do. There's more than enough to get involved. And I've got a list here and it's by no means an exhaustive list and you can add to it. But there's children's ministry. There's youth ministry. There's men's ministry. There's prayer ministry. There's worship ministry. There's media ministry. There's community group ministry. There's healing on the streets ministry. There's a banner in there. It's been lying redundant since someone's decided that they didn't want to do it anymore. Outreach ministry and on and on and on and on and on. All of these things are waiting to be picked up by who? By those who have seen, I reckon, right, I've crossed over. I'm ready to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. The man has stopped. Well, what are we going to do now? Well, you can starve to death. Well, you can start taking responsibility. This church isn't growing. Well, who's going to take responsibility? Yeah. Nothing's happening. Well, who's going to take responsibility? Why? Well, you need to stop asking why, because fathers know why. Mm-hmm. Father knows why he gets up and goes to work every morning. Mm-hmm. The children might be going, why does daddy go to work every morning? The father knows why he goes. Yeah. Daddy, why do you have to go to work? That's a childish question. The father knows why he goes. Somebody help me this morning. I'll say, when you have children, man, it's not an 18-year commitment. It's a lifelong commitment. Right, buddy? And it doesn't stop with your children, because your children have children. And your children's children have children. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. See, what about all these different ministries, all these different the areas of responsibility that are just waiting for someone to start saying, why? Or, nothing's happening. Or, I think the man has stopped. No, they're waiting for somebody to come along and say, I want to take responsibility for that. I'm ready to pick that up. I'm ready to run with that. I know that's my place of fulfillment. I don't know that's where my destiny will. I know that's where I'll begin to discover my purpose. I know I'm on this earth for this. See, these are the places where relationships are nurtured. These are the places where relationships are formed through which the Holy Spirit moves, because the Holy Spirit stops moving where relationship ends. Yeah. I asked the Lord all these years ago, I said, Lord, how come a lot of these revivals and they seem to be contained within churches and yet they don't seem to really move much into the community? And I said, well, as you know, people always talk about the Lewis revival, how different it was, and it seemed to spread through the community. And this is what he said to me. He said, you cannot have revival in a community where there is no community. And I've seen it over and over again, the life of God moving through a family until the close relationship's in.
Yeah.
And then, boom, the fire goes out. Because relationships are the combustible material through which the fire of God spreads. Remember these big fires last week or 2 weeks ago in Canada? I mean, they were jumping roads and everything, and jumping. The fire department said, we couldn't believe it, this fire was just spreading. But I tell you, it could only spread as far as there was combustible material. These are the places, these are where relationships are nurtured, where relationships are formed, and these are the conduit through which the Holy Spirit moves. And that's where the materials are provided with which Jesus builds his church.
Yeah.
He says, I will build my church. You give me the materials, I will build my church. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for the next level? Do you recognize what it means? Are you ready to embrace your freedom as you take responsibility? Because that's where freedom is. Freedom with purpose. That's been the tagline of New Wine Church for a long time. Freedom with purpose. We believe in freedom. We believe in liberty. But we believe there's a purpose for that freedom. Hallelujah. In verse 13 of Joshua chapter 5 it says, Do you like that point? Freedom is spelled R-E-S-P-O-N-S-I-V-I-L-I-T-Y. Hallelujah. I was always going to spell it. I was going so fast you didn't know whether it was right or wrong. Somebody said I had more eyes in it than Mississippi. Come on now. Hallelujah. Verse 13, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us? Every time I read this, man, it just blesses me. Are you for us or for our enemies? We'll be talking about, well, we'll get back to that. Neither, he replied. Huh? That wasn't the answer I was expecting. I don't think that was the answer I was wanting. Neither, he replied, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now. God, we were saying that we went, there's an army rising up, is there? I believe it. I want to see it. Glory to God. I'm expecting for it. But God doesn't have conscripts in his army. Hallelujah. It's only for volunteers. That's when God shows his power. You'll find it in the scripture. God shows his spirit when that volunteer spirit enters the church. When we say, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Come on. And the Holy Spirit comes. Neither, he replied, but as commander, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Number six. We shouldn't be asking whose side is the Lord on, but who is on the Lord's side. We shouldn't be asking the question, whose side is the Lord on? But we should be asking who is on the Lord's side. See, Joshua asked the wrong question. He asked an us and them question. And God's for an us. He's saying, I want everyone in the Lord's army. Hallelujah. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. Hallelujah. Who knows, every person in the body of Christ, whether they're a recognized leader or not, has to come to the realization that unless they are under authority, they have no authority. And the commander of the Lord's army, he's not there to fight for our agenda. Are you on our side? Because he has his own agenda. And unless you didn't know it already, the commander of the Lord's army is there to lead us into battle. We are here to follow him.
That's right.
Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, go out like a crazy person, I'll follow you. You know, he said, follow me. He doesn't come to sanction or to rubber stamp our plans. He invites us to come and submit to his plans.
Yes.
We take our direction from him, because the truth is and the reality is, and I've banged my head off enough walls to have finally understood this, that it never really works any other way. And every time we sing songs with things like, I surrender, you know, it always blesses me, because I think, man, the incredible thing about surrendering to the Lord's will is that we're not surrendering to an enemy. We're not surrendering to someone who's going to take us captive and exploit us. We're surrendering to the plans of our Heavenly Father, which are always for good and never for evil, which are always to give us a future that is filled with hope, and that hope that never disappoints.
That's right.
Hallelujah. If you want to avoid disappointment, surrender to the Lord. and to His will and to His plans, and you'll never be disappointed again. If God be for us, if God be for us, not if God be for me, but if God be for us, then who can be against us? God is for us. And so everyone who comes under His authority, everyone who aligns himself with His agenda, will find themselves on the Lord's side. And they will discover that they have real spiritual authority to exercise dominion in the earth. But anyone who rejects the us and stubbornly or pridefully hangs on to that mindset of us and them, and I've seen this happen tragically over and over again, they will inevitably resort to illegitimate authority as they seek to maintain and to control their little us through domination, intimidation, and manipulation, as they try and preserve their elite status quo that always excludes them, whoever they define that them, whoever their group defines them. There's always that us and them. And if you have an us and them, you're always going to end up in illegitimate authority, because you'll only have legitimate authority in the earth when you recognize that you're part of an us. That heaven's agenda is for an us. Somebody else.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about everybody being in one massive, big, mega church in Stornoway. That doesn't have to be that way. In fact, and I'm not against big churches, and I'm not shouting and rooting for small churches either. But sometimes a church can become too big. Okay, I'm going to get into tonight's message, baby. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Mm-hmm. It's time sometimes to say, well, come on, we need to send some people out there. And there's places around this island that need a living, live Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit testimony and witness. Send me, say, here I am, send me. He's going to take responsibility. He said, I'm giving you the land, will you receive it? Hallelujah. See, when we finally get to the place of recognizing that the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word is that's our final authority, there's no other response than that which Joshua had, which is to fall down before Him in reverence and awe and worship with an open heart that's just waiting, ready, open to receive His direction and instruction. Let Your will be done. Let Your will be done. What's Your will? Let me know Your will is. I want to run with that. Remember what Jesus said? The Father is seeking who? Worshippers. In spirit and in truth. That one of the means of the definitions of the Greek word for truth there is accuracy. Those who worship Him with accuracy. Who are aligned with His agenda. Who know what their purpose is. We're here this morning, folks. I tell you, we need to know that every time we come before the Lord like this, mm-hmm. corporately, or every time we come before Him individually, that we are on holy ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because He is holy. Yeah. He's the one who makes the ground holy. Mm-hmm. And He said, I'll be there. I'll be with you continually. That means everywhere I go, everywhere I put my foot, it's holy ground because He's with me. He said, whenever you come together like this, even if there's only two or three of you, I will position myself in the midst of you in a particular special way, and I will manifest my glory in the midst of you, and because I'm there and I'm holy, that's holy ground. And that means we should never be flippant in our attitude to the reality that He has promised to be here. And not only has He promised to be here, He has promised to speak to us here.
Yeah.
And so we should come together, every time we come together, we should come together expecting to hear
yeah.
from Him. Because he has provided everything for us, but if we don't listen to his voice, we will be ignorant of what he has given us right now.
Yeah.
And so we'll be unable to take possession of that which we are ignorant of.
Yeah.
Are we on the Lord's side? Do we have the reverence and the awe for the commander of the Lord's army that brings us together like this with a readiness to give an inward response of obedience and faith to every command that we receive from him? Because Jesus said he left heaven with a commandment. And the commandment is life. Everywhere he went, he commanded life. Amen? He encountered sickness, he commanded life. Healing. He encountered oppression and demonic possession even, and he commanded life. He drove out death. He even encountered death and commanded life. He stood at the grave in the tomb of Lazarus. He said, "Lazarus, come out." Commanded life. His command is always life. It's not just life, it's abundant life. It's life in its fullness. And that's why we must choose to abandon our old allegiance to that faulty religious attitude of passive acceptance. In regards to anything, absolutely anything that is contrary to everything that our Father provided for us through Jesus at the cross, we must say, no, I reject that, I refuse that.
Right.
I've said about it this morning. I've said about all the what ifs that people have. Well, but what if I trust God for healing and I don't get healed? And I was just going out the shower this morning, and boom, the light came on my head. It's time to turn that what if around into an if what. It's time to redeem your what ifs and turn them around into if whats. If what God has said is true, then there's no way that he will fail to come through what he has promised.
Right.
Turn all your what ifs into an if what. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I believe that everything he said is what he will do. So I ain't going to mess with the what ifs. I'm not saying I don't have what ifs rise up in me from time to time. But thank God, we don't have to go with the what ifs. We can turn them around into if whats. Can I believe in the if what? I believe that what he says is what he will do. It might not happen immediately. It might not happen according to my timetable.
Yeah.
It might not happen as quickly as I would like it, but it will happen because he said it.
Amen.
I don't understand all of the other things. I don't understand why it's not happening immediately. I don't understand it. And I don't need to fuss with that. I just need to stand and stand and go on standing and believing that
yeah.
what he said is
Amen.
What he will do. And I ain't going to shift from that. I ain't going to run here and run there. Or, come on, son, boy. It's time for active and aggressive expectancy. To see, not just some of the time, but all the time, to experience the goodness of God, not when we die and go to heaven, but in the land of the living. Because that's where your testimony is effective. In the land of the living. Somebody help me. If we are on the Lord's side, then we are ready and equipped to take the land one step of faith and obedience at a time. Do you understand that? I wrote some things down here. I choose to embrace the righteousness provided for me by my Father. And the reason I choose that is primarily because it proves his goodness.
Yeah.
And it points others to his goodness. Not just because of what it does for me, not just because of what it's made possible for me. I mean, Rachel read from Deuteronomy 28 this morning, the blessings that were attached to obedience. Well, I want to tell you this morning, according to the old covenant, if you didn't obey, then there was a lot of curses attached to disobedience. But I want to tell you, Jesus dismantled the curse and brought us into the fullness of the blessing, and we're not trusting in their obedience anymore, we're trusting in his obedience.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that will change your life.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I can stand here this morning and tell you, I ain't perfect. I get things wrong, man. I get things wrong so badly sometimes. I've messed up. I've done some stupid things. I've done some ridiculously stupid things. But I want to tell you, I'm not trusting in my righteousness. I'm trusting in His righteousness. And I'm here to tell you that's what I'm doing, because I want you to tell you that it makes a difference. It makes an incredible, massive difference in my life. And I'm not here to tell you that because I want to tell you how good I am. I want to tell you how good He is. It proves His goodness. It points others to His goodness, somebody, I choose to embrace the healing provided for me by my Father, not just because it enables me to walk in His divine health, but primarily because it proves His goodness. And it points others to His goodness. I choose to embrace the deliverance that's been provided for me by my Father, primarily because it proves His goodness and points others to His goodness. I choose to embrace the prosperity provided for me by my Father, primarily because it proves His goodness. We heard a lot this morning prophetically about embracing the royalty that we have become. You see, you don't prove your royalty by running around telling everybody how much of a king you are.
That's right.
By commanding everybody. And in fact, we were watching, because Katrina likes that Invictus choir stuff. I watched the first one with Katrina the other day, that guy that does all that. He's like, some white guy, isn't he? He can turn anybody into a singer, basically. But he was meeting Prince Harry for the first time. And he was... On the program, he's talking to me, saying, I don't know, how am I supposed to address him? You know, Your Royal Highness, or Prince, whatever. And he meets the guy, and he says, I'm not really sure what, he says, just call me Harry. You don't have to be called Prince Harry to know he's a prince.
Yeah.
You don't have to have somebody bowing and scraping and saying Your Royal Highness around him every 5 minutes just so that he'll know who he is. And come on, somebody. Whoa! Hallelujah. You don't need to run around and start boom, boom, hitting people over the head with your mama. Boom, boom, boom. You just need to begin to walk and talk like you know who you are.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And you're there to serve. But more than anything else, you're there to serve people. Hallelujah. If anyone's proved that, it's our queen. Come on now. who's 90, whatever she is now. Amen. She ain't never retired. Come on now. And she's still doing more than most of us in here. In fact, some of us, 4 or 5 of us combined, get through in a day. She's still doing it. Hallelujah. Because she knows that down there on the inside of her, there's something that says, I'm here to serve. Because she says, I believe in Jesus. Because she says, I believe in the one who said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. The King of Kings, the one who left heaven's throne, the one who left palatial surroundings that we can't even begin to imagine. He came down here and said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. So yes, embrace your royalty. Embrace your identity. Embrace who you are. Grab hold of it with both hands. And then remember to take responsibility. To serve. Hallelujah. To ensure that God's kingdom comes on the earth. Hallelujah. In every place that you have responsibility, ensure that the kingdom of heaven manifests in that place. Hallelujah. Somebody. Glory to God. I choose to embrace the prosperity provided for me by my Father, primarily because it proves His goodness and points others to His goodness. You know, God, I'll get through this very quickly, we're nearly done. God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and He blessed him, and He promised him that through his seed, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. And from Abraham's seed came Israel. And they were to be a sign to all other people groups that living in relationship with Almighty God is the best life. Do you understand? That was their purpose. And through all of their times of rebellion and God's need to chastise them, He always returned in mercy and proved His goodness. And He still does.
Yeah.
He's still faithful to that covenant that He made with Israel. But from Israel came Jesus, who for 33 and a half years lived a sinless life. The first 30 years in relative obscurity. And in the final 3.5 years of public engagement with people, he continually pointed them to the Father, and to the Father's goodness, and to the Father's plans for the best life. And from Jesus comes the church. And we have a message, and we have a ministry of reconciliation. As a sign, we are here as a sign that points people home. Where their Father's waiting to welcome them into his presence, where they can live without a sense of fear, guilt, shame or condemnation, where they can enter as little children and develop in that environment of safety, of provision and protection into young men. And from young men into fathers. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I've got a bit more here. I don't know if we can get this done this morning or not. But I was going to read from Paul down there in Athens, but let me ask you this one. Let's stand up. Are you on the Lord's side? Have you been baptized? This is Pentecost Sunday. Have you received the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Have you moved from the powerlessness of passive acceptance? And that's that place where reproach is incubated and perpetuated. That place of, oh, well, you're all wrong. Or are you living and active and aggressive expectancy to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, where the reproach is rolled away? Hallelujah. I want to tell you, Jesus said, we have received all things freely. He's freely given us all things. In 1 Peter, it says that he's given us all things. 2 Peter, sorry, it says that he's given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Everything's been given to us freely. He's given us all things that we need to live a godly life. He's given us all things that we need to live the God kind of life. Have you received it all? Will you receive it all? Is there bits missing in your life? Do you need to submit yourself to water baptism to be cut off from your past? To be cut off from the demons of your past? To cut off from the things that pursue you from your past? Do you need to submit to that today and say, yes, Lord, and see it as part of your plan for me to enter into the fullness of life, to experience your goodness in the land of the living? Have you received the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Because you have to receive a gift. Peter said, repent every one of you, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus said, don't leave home without him. Don't try and live this life without him. He's your connection with heaven. He whose joy the Lord has become one spirit with him. He's the one that will enable you to do what you could never do on your own, to be who you could never be on your own, to have what you could never have on your own. You need him in your life. You need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Have you received? If you haven't, come and freely receive this morning. Because until you freely receive, you've got nothing to give. Will you take responsibility and say, I want to be a giver in this land. I want to be a sower in this land. But first of all, I'm going to have to come and receive the provision of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you here this morning? The question this morning is not, whose side is the Lord on? But who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Who's ready to take everything that he has provided so they can stand up on the inside and become a manifestation of his provision and his goodness in the earth? It's a sign that points to others, to his goodness. Points others to his goodness, to his faithfulness. So they can enter into the fullness of what he has provided for them. So that we can begin to see in us, begin to emerge in the earth, the Lord's army. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your precious people here today. Lord, I pray that this word would go deep in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that it would begin to come up fruitful in our lives. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, anyone here today that's been holding back or hasn't moved forward into the fullness of what you have, who's still asking why, like a teenager. Lord, but they recognize this morning that deep is calling on the deep, that someone's calling them up. They're hearing the upward call. They don't know how to take that step. Well, let them this morning let it fall into place for them. Lord, that there's the steps that you have provided. Lord, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Lord, that which is essential for us, Lord, to enter into and live in the fullness of this life. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.